Thank you for that good singing.
Amen.
That last one was for me. I need that. Sometimes you just need the Lord to come on the scene. Not necessarily change your circumstances, but put His arms around you in the midst of them.
Amen. Yes.
Got a message I'm going to preach on this morning I've never preached before. God gave me this, I know He did. The devil tried to scare me out of preaching it. But I know that God gave it to me. And I believe this is what God wants to do for us and for this church. I'm going to read out of Matthew chapter number 7, but I want to preach on this subject for just a little bit this morning. Why we will see miracles. While you're turning, we want to ask you, we're also going to read in Matthew chapter number 12, but we'll end up in Matthew 7, but ask you to pray for the Graham family. Brother Tommy Graham lost his dad this week. He's 90 years old. He was a fine Christian man. They loved him. We never want to turn loose of them here, but remember, they're not lost if we know where they are. They've just gone to a place that we're going to go to. David said when he spoke to his son, and you find this in the Old Testament often, he said, I go the way of all the earth. And one day, if God stays us coming and Jesus doesn't come back, we'll go the way of all the earth. I also want you to pray for Jeff and Diana Wicks. Diana's aunt, Jean Suleiman, the lady who she spent most of her life with, is in Kenistone, and she had a stroke, and she's in very grave condition. She's 87 years old. They love her. And that's one thing about when you care about somebody. You know, it doesn't matter if they're 87 or 90. That's your loved one. That's your mom. That's your dad. You know, sometimes it happens when in younger years, and, you know, we don't expect that, right? You never expect to have to bury a child or a loved one, or even a younger sibling. Sometimes it happens. But I also want to share with you this morning that we're going to see miracles in this church. Amen. We've already seen miracles. We have. And we praise God for them, and we give God the glory for them. But I want to give you a prerequisite this morning before I get into the heart of that. It's why some will not see miracles. There are people, there are churches, there are groups in this country and in this world that will not see miracles. And I thought about this scripture as I began to look at it, and here's the number one reason. Some, they just want to see a sign. You know, they want to see or hear of a miracle. And I've had this happen, actually, you know, when you have a speaker come and you tell somebody, and we had this one time in a Sunday school class. We had a guy who came to give his testimony who had been on life, had a life sentence in prison. God spared him. And God saved him. You say, well, I don't believe in that jailhouse religion. I've said this before. I'm going to tell you something. I'm seeing more people saved at the Pawnee County Jail than we're seeing saved in this church. And I've said this. Maybe some folks just need to get locked up so they can get saved. Because outside of jail, they're so blessed, they don't think they need God. Now, I don't know which one of these are working, brother. I'm good? Okay. But they're seeing people saved. This man got saved in prison, and in a process, the blessings and the hand, and by the way, the miracle of God, he got out. And he came, and he was giving his testimony, and when he came, here's what he wanted to do. He didn't want to talk about all the garbage in his life. He didn't want to tell how a man lost his life and he was involved in it, although he wasn't the trigger man. He still, you know, you can still be guilty, folks, especially young people listening to me, just by being in the car or being around the wrong people when something happens. He didn't want to talk about that. You know what he wanted to talk about? He wanted to talk about how God had changed his life. And here's why people won't see miracles. The same reason I'm about to tell you. Do you know that we had people come to the Sunday school class that weren't members of the class and they were disappointed? They went out in the hall and I heard them talking. They say, we want to hear more of the stuff that he's done. They didn't see the miracle. You know, there are people today, they're just like the scribes and the Pharisees were. Listen to this scripture in Matthew chapter 12 and verse 38. It says, "Then certain of the scribes and the Pharisees answered, saying, Master, we would see a sign from thee." In other words, they wanted to see a miracle. "But he answered and said unto them, An evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given to it but the sign of the prophet Jonas. For as Jonas was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth." They wanted to see Jesus perform a miracle. They wanted to see a sign. But here's what the reason a lot of people are not going to see miracles is, if you don't believe before the sign or the miracle, you're not going to believe after. That's why there are not more miracles than there are, because some people, that's all they want to see, or that's all they want. They don't want God. They don't want a relationship with God. They just want what God has. You know, some people just want to see a sign, and they're not going to see a sign. Some, the reason they're not going to see a miracle is they just want to satisfy themselves. In James chapter 4, verse number 3, it says this. Says, "Ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lusts." To ask amiss is to ask wrongfully or inappropriately. And when people come to God and they come in this fashion, and they come just because they want something from God, and I've likened it unto this. You've heard the saying, what you get if you play country music backwards. You know, you get your truck back, you get your dog back, you get your wife back, you get your girlfriend back. That's the same reason a lot of people come to God. They don't come to God because they want a relationship with God, or even when they pray and they're looking for something, they're not looking for it to honor and glorify God out of a sincere heart. They just want something. But a lot of people are not going to see a miracle, and here's why. God is not your spare tire. He's God, He's King of Kings, He's Lord of Lords, and here's what I want us to get a hold of. Now, we got some good stuff coming. We just don't tell you why some people won't see a miracle. He's King of Kings, He's Lord of Lords. He does not have to have us, but we sure do need Him. We need Him. I need Him in my life. I need Him to give me peace in the midst of the storm. I need Him. He's God on the mountain, but I need Him when I go to the valley. I need Him. I want Him, and I want Him in my life. But I was driving down the road, and I felt the Lord begin to speak to my heart. And He gave me this thought to share with the church, why we will see miracles. Now let's go to Matthew chapter number 7 and let's look at verse number 7, and we're going to read down through verse number 11. Jesus in the red riding says this, "Ask and it shall be given you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened to you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. Or what man is there of you whom, if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask Him?" Now, I want to give you some points, and when I give them to you, they're very, very, very simple. Simple. And that's what I said to the Lord. I said, "Well, Lord, this is simple." He said, "It is simple." Amen. And can I tell you this? Being saved is simple. Amen. We make it complex, and we might try to make it something it's not, when all it is the Holy Spirit knocking at your heart's door, and you decide that you're going to surrender. You can do it where you're at. You can come to an altar, which I believe God honors that. Scripture says He saveth such that be of a broken heart and a contrite spirit. How simple is it? Why will we see miracles? Here's number one. Because we believe. Now, here's what I want you to understand. You say, well, what we believe, and here's the issue. It's not that we have some kind of great faith that others have. Now, I believe faith's important, and we're going to come back to that. But you remember the story in the Bible in Mark chapter 9 and verse 24, the man had the son that basically was being torn by a spirit, and he brought him to Jesus, and he cried out to the Lord, basically said, I can't do anymore. God, if you don't do something, it's lost. And then Jesus said, well, all things are possible if you believe. And he said this. He cried out with tears, and he said, Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. You see, I'm not talking about coming into the house of God and saying, well, I'm such a fine Christian, or I'm so good, or I'm here, and I can come and ask the Lord. If you wait till you feel worthy, you won't come. If you wait till you're good enough, you won't come. If you wait till where you've had a week that you hadn't had any mistakes, any words, any things that are not right with God, you won't come. When I say we believe, here's what I'm talking about. We believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. We believe that He is the only way to heaven. We believe that when we cry to Him, He can help us. And we believe this, that He has the power to perform miracles. I heard it said one time that the same power that raised Jesus from the dead is available to you. Now, I want you to get a hold of that for just a minute. You know, sometimes people say, well, I prayed for, and they list it, and they say it didn't happen. God's not going to give you everything you ask for. Why? Because He knows exactly what you need. You ever heard that? And this is a country song, but it'll preach. Sometimes I thank God for unanswered prayers. Can we stop right here for just a minute and say, if God did not sometimes not answer your prayers, some of you'd be married to the wrong person. Amen. Some of you would have moved off and took a job somewhere that you didn't need to take and took your kids to an area that they wouldn't have a church and a pastor and a youth group and a youth pastor that loved them. Sometimes when we pray, we don't pray according to our will, but we pray according to God's will. And when you pray according to His will and seek His will, when you pray, He will answer your prayers. When I say we believe, here's what I want you to understand. This is why we're going to see miracles. We don't need a miracle to be a believer. You get that? Remember the Pharisees and the scribes? And they say, well, you know, they saw Him, they came to Him, and they said, we would see a sign from Thee. I didn't come here this morning saying, I'm going to be a Christian, God, if You'll perform a miracle. I come saying, God, I'm going to surrender to Your will, whatever it is. And when You bid us and when we pray, we believe You've got the power to do the things that You said that You were going to do. Here's why we're going to see miracles, right along with believing. The world out there is looking for a sign. We're not. Remember the story of the rich man and Lazarus? The rich man, he died, and the scripture says he did lift his eyes in torments. Scripture also says that Lazarus, he died, and he was carried afar off, and he was placed in the Abraham's bosom. That means a paradise of God. And the old rich man, he could see across, but they could not hear him over there. He could see what was going on. Wouldn't that be torment to see the people of God rejoicing in peace and you in torment, separated from the presence of God forever? And he said, Father Abraham, he wanted one to go from the dead and speak to his brothers. Because he said, I don't want them to come to this awful place. But he said to him, they've got Moses and the prophets. In other words, they've got the Word of God. They've got preachers ringing the prayer bells of heaven. They've got people. They've got grandmothers that are praying for them. There's a testimony. The Scripture even talks about having the signs and the seasons to speak to us. He said, basically, if they won't hear the testimony of Moses and the prophets and the Word of God, they won't hear if one rose from the dead. Yes. It's the same reason the world won't see miracles. But here's the point, folks. We don't have to have that. I'm a child of God. I'm a born-again Christian. And if God never does nothing else for me, He's done enough when He saved my soul. But I believe he's going to answer our prayers. I believe he's going to send people and we're going to lay hands on them. I believe we're going to see things happen because God is looking for a place that he can pour out his Holy Spirit on a remnant of people that are willing to live separate from this wicked world that we're living in. And we want to give him this whole place for that. See, number one, we believe. Number two, simple. We ask. We ask. You know, sometimes, and I've heard people say this, I just don't feel like I'm worthy. And I'll tell you something, man, we're about to elect some deacons. You know what I've heard a lot of times, Brother Tom, when we talk to them? I don't feel like I'm cut out worthy. I'm not worthy. That's my wife. I'm not worthy. She says I'm a good man, but I'm not perfect. Brother Tommy, you're not perfect. Brother Allen's not perfect. Young people, I know y'all young and innocent, but y'all not perfect. But when I come before the Lord, he doesn't look at me and say, there comes my perfect preacher. No, he doesn't. You ever heard that song? It's me again, Lord. I've got a prayer that needs an answer. And I don't mean to worry you, but I need help that only comes from you. It's me again, Lord. But you got to ask. You don't ask because you're worthy. You don't ask because you're good enough. You ask because you have a father that loves you.
Yes.
Heard a very wise man, Phil Robertson, one time, made this comment. He said, one investment that is never to pay off is one that you did not make. Let me tell you, one prayer that'll never get answered is one that you did not pray. If you've got something going on in your life, you bring it to the Lord.
Amen.
Now, if you've never laid under a car in 95-degree weather and tried to put a steering sector on it by yourself and tried to make your foot into a hand to hold it up,
yes.
You say, you pray about stuff like that. I want to tell you, if I could tell you the times that I've said, God, would you please let me get this bolt started so
Amen.
I can turn loose this
yes.
thing.
Lay
down on my side trying to reach under there and wire a dishwasher when they didn't leave you but about 3 inches of wire sticking up out of the floor. You ever prayed, Lord, help me? Or you can turn around and give the devil a little glory. Which one? See, we ask, and here's what we do. We ask in prayer. Who are we talking to? Our Heavenly Father. James chapter 5, verse 16, the latter part of the verse through the 18th verse says this, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Elijah was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not in the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months, and he prayed a rain again, and the heaven gave rain. And the earth brought forth her fruit. Now, you can go over the Old Testament and read that story, but here's what I want you to get a hold of. Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are. You know, I can remember being in Bible college, and they started talking about deity. Now, these were young, just saved Christian boys, and they started talking about deity in the Bible, and they said Moses and Elijah, and I said, whoa. Moses was just, you know, can you get a hold of this? Moses was just like you and me.
Yes.
Elijah, the scripture says, is just like you and me.
Yes.
David, just like you and me.
Right.
Abraham, maybe worse. What did they do? They prayed. And they asked. And they asked in earnestness. Sometimes when people come and pray, do you see the earnestness? That's why we have tissues up here. It's for earnestness. It's when you come and you pray and you got a bad report from the doctor and you don't know what you're going to do. Are you coming here on Sunday morning and the devil tried to talk you out of coming to church because you ain't heard from your son in 2 weeks and you don't know where he's at and the devil's told you, you might as well just quit. When you come and you are broken before the Lord and you ask in earnestness, will he ask a fish and he give him a stone?
Amen.
We ask in earnestness, we ask in faith. What's the faith? What did he say? He said, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. You know, the scripture says faith is a grain of mustard seed. I figure I have a grain of salt. Maybe that's my problem. But you know, here's what I want you to turn around and see. It's really not even about you when prayer is answered. That's where people miss it, you see. It's not about how good I am or how much I bring when I come to the altar. What I ought to do is bring all of my junk right here. All of my prayer requests right here. And what does the song say that we sing? Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me.
Amen.
And when I come and I bring my grain of salt and I lay it on the altar, and I say, Lord, I'm coming because I know who you are. I don't go anywhere else. I don't pray. Folks, you'll never see me get on a rug and face the Middle East and pray to Islam. I'll cry out to the name that is above every other name, of the name of Jesus. The only name whereby a man must be saved. And when I cry out to him, it's not because I'm good enough. It's not because I'm worthy. It's because his blood is enough if we ask for it to cover everything that we bring. And I ask in faith because I believe. And then we ask according to God's will. You see, when we pray, and I love that movie War Room, you know the prayer request, the answer? I've thought about it. We need that hall. We need that wall. Have y'all forgot how many miracles we've seen performed right here in this church? How many times have we had somebody come back and say, well, I went in and they just couldn't find nothing? Are we just thinking over and over that it's coincidence? Or are we going to finally get to the point that we say the power of God is in this place? And if God is in this place, this is a place that I want to be. Well, how about this? And I thought about this. You know, the Bible says a man's years will be 70. That's not long. If that's true, and if it were just a clock, we'd be measuring it, wouldn't we? We'd be looking. The scripture says in Psalms 90 and verse 12, so teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Unfortunately, most people wait for the bad news to come till they finally decide they're going to get serious about being what God wants them to be. It ought not be that way. But if it's 70, a lot of us are living on a credit. And others of us are getting close. But you know, sometimes we get to the point in our life, it's like some of our members have experienced recently, we live a very full life, and you get up to age and age and age, and you get to the point that you know the natural span of life. And then we still pray. God, would you have mercy? God, would you perform a miracle? You know what that is? And this is what we do. We ask God for a favor. We say, God, I love them. God, I care for them. Would you let me keep them just a little longer? God, they mean so much in my life. They're such a blessing. They're such a friend. Would you just grant this favor? And you know what sometimes God does? It's because he loves you. He gives you that favor. Now, folks, we've seen that with some of our folks here in this church. There's been people that I've went and seen in the hospital, and the doctors literally tell me while we're there, there's really not nothing can be done. There's not much hope. You know, you might as well call the family in. I've been to see one person, they call the family in twice. I said, it's not done till God says it's done. This person has honored God with their life. If God grants more life, they're going to honor him with it. And I want to tell you something. We've seen them in this church after the doctor said they'll never walk again. That's when we ask and God says, okay, I'll grant this favor. Now, folks, there ain't nothing wrong with going to heaven. Scripture says that Enoch walked with God and he was not. How'd you like to have such a relationship with God that you can just be out walking with the Lord? And he said, come on up here with me. See, we believe. Simple. We ask. Let me give you something else that's simple. God is able. God is able. Why? Let's get a hold of this. He is God. He's God. He's not your favorite sports star. He's not the greatest speaker you know. He's God. And Scripture says in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20, it says, "Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think." You know, the problem that you and I have living in this body and this life is we have a finite mind trying to understand an infinite God. And it says here that he is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. And then it says unto him, listen to this, according to the power that worketh in us. Remember, we are the children of God. We're special. Might not feel special, but if you save, you special.
Amen.
David said, I got so much scripture coming in my head, I'm going to have to stay on this thing. David said, I am fearfully and wonderfully made, and that my soul knoweth quite well. What does that mean? That means you are special. You're special if you're not saved. You're special if you are, because the Holy Spirit dwells in you. The Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, God has sent it to you, and he said he will guide you and lead you in all things. You're special if you're not saved, because God loved you so much he sent his son to the cross so that you might have life. And all you got to do is open up your heart and receive it. It says, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Why? What does that mean? It's for the glory of God. See, God is able to perform miracles. You ever heard anybody say, and we have, I don't know if God can handle this. Do we say that, really? I don't know if this might be too big for God. No, it's not too big for God. It's not. I remember one time I preached on the virgin birth, and I had a little clump of modeling clay in my hand. Remember that? Scripture says that God took this earth, and he made a man. And after he made that man and he formed him in his own image, he breathed into his nostrils life, the breath of God. And if God can do that, he can breathe and life will come into the womb of Mary. So I believe in the virgin birth. But I tell you what else God can do. God can breathe and the Holy Spirit can go across somebody's body. Just like he molded that clay, he can move in such a way that when the doctors go in, we've heard it recently, they say, well, there's nothing there. We can't explain it. Well, let me tell you, it's real simple. God can handle your situation. Does he always move the way we want him to? No, he doesn't. But we'd be eternally here if he did, right? See, he's got more for us on the other side than there is here. And I believe this, everything you enjoy here that's good, that's wholesome, you'll enjoy it in heaven without all the trouble, without all the heartache, without all the burden and the pain. I got to move, but these will be quick. See, we believe, we ask, God is able. And we've said this one, but here's why God is going to perform miracles in our lives. Because he loves us.
Yes.
He loves us. It's like the song, he loves me. He loves me. Jesus loves me. The song we teach our kids, yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Why? The Bible tells me so. You know, if we, the scripture said this, we're reading in Matthew chapter number 7. If we, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto our children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him? You see, because he loves us, but also this one, because we are the children of God. You ever heard anybody say, y'all remember when you was in school, my daddy can whip your daddy? Let me tell you something. I got a heavenly Father in heaven.
That's right.
And he can handle it.
Amen.
You ever had anybody come against you with evil? I have. I've told y'all a story before about the lady who made the little voodoo doll of me. She showed me that thing. It had pins sticking out of it. I quoted a verse of scripture to her, and she looked like ice water been poured over her head. You know what I said?
Yes.
I said, my daddy is bigger than your daddy. Yes. We serve a living God.
Amen.
We're the children of God. And then this is the last one. We will give him all the glory. Folks, that's why God's going to perform miracles. There's an unbelieving world out there that it could be wasted on because they're not going to believe it anyway. But when God moves, and he's going to move when we answer prayer, we're not going to say, look what we did. We're not going to talk about Hiram Baptist, First Baptist Church. We're going to say, God, you get all the glory.
Amen.
All the honor, all the praise, because, Lord, it's not about us. But it's about you. You see, we're going to ask him. We're going to believe because he's able. But when he does it, you know what we're going to do? We're going to thank him. We're going to praise him. We're going to acknowledge him. And we're going to exalt him because he is our Lord. Ask him to get ready with a song. I got one more verse I'm going to read, and then we're going to give an invitation. Psalms 116, verse number 12 and 13 says this. It says, what shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. You know what God wants from you? It's just you. God wants a relationship with you. He wants to be your God. I heard a guy say one time, and it helped me, because I grew up thinking I'm not like everybody else. I knew God called me to preach, but I said, God, I'm not like these other preachers that I've been around. And I heard this guy say, this guy was saved out of a world of drugs and the hippie generation living in Volkswagen buses. And he said, I went into church after God saved me, and I didn't think they was going to let me in. He said, I struggled and I struggled and I struggled, but I knew God touched me. He said, finally, the Holy Spirit spoke to me and he said, I didn't call you to be like them. I called you to be the best you that you can be. What somebody needs to do this morning to get connected is they need to call upon the name of the Lord and take the cup of salvation and just accept Christ.
Amen.
You see, there's just two powers. He that hath the Son hath life. He that doth not have the Son, what does it say? Hath not life.
Yes.
My dad is Jesus.
Amen.
In the book of Galatians, he's called Abba, Father. Now, the word Abba is daddy. He's my Savior. He's my Lord. I ask you to rise to your feet if God has spoke to your heart and you feel like praying this morning. You say, well, I don't want to go down there by myself. Take a loved one by the hand. Somebody loves you. God loves you this morning, but this church loves you.
Yes.
And we'd love to see somebody just do business with God. Just allow God to comfort you. Allow God to save you. Allow God to work in your life. Or just maybe somebody this morning needs a miracle. God's got them. As they sing, would you please come?